Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
So the car's beginning to get ready to roll here at Mid-Ohio, and it's the Mustang Sampling DPI that's ready to go first of all, sitting at the front of the queue, or in fact the only car in the queue at the moment. Here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre, it's John Hinehoff and Jeremy Shaw. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit Lane Reporter. Shea, check in with you first of all. What do we need to know about the entry list here for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship? Now, I'm going to say this now. It's possibly the only time I'll say it in this session. The Acura Sports Car Challenge presented by TLX Type S at Mid-Ohio. Practice one.
Well done, John, and hello to you. Well, let's start with DPI. We have six cars entered for this weekend, three of the Cadillac variety, two of the Acura, and one of the Mazdas, with all of our usual characters driving in those cars. But for the first time all year, just two drivers in a car. That's newsworthy. We have LMP3 with us this weekend, no LMP2. Those cars will be back with us at Watkins Glen in the end of June. For LMP3, though, we have six cars. Initially, there were seven on the entry list, but we have all Ligiers. That is the notable thing. We welcome Andretti Autosport, car number 36 in their Ligier. Jared Andretti sharing with Oliver Askew this weekend. That's going to be a very quick car. And then we go to GTD, where we have quite a few entry list changes. In GTD, on the initial entry list, the 19 Grasser Racing Lamborghini was listed to participate, but due to a crash in testing, they have withdrawn, so they are not here this weekend. But we do have a few new cars. Carbon with Peregrine in their Audi R8 making their debut this weekend in GTD. Jeff Westfall and Richard Highstand sharing that car. We also welcome back Gradient Racing in their Acura for Till Bechtelsheimer and Mark Miller. And it's a new Acura for them, although they're familiar with the platform, having raced it before, including last year. Compass Racing coming to GTD with an Acura instead of a McLaren. That is birthday boy Mario Farnbacher. Happy birthday, Mario. Alongside Canadian Jeff Kingsley. And one Porsche for Hardpoint Racing. That's Rob Ferriel and Kat Legg sharing in that number 88.
Jeremy Shaw is with me, John Hinehoff in the Global Broadcast, the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Seems like a while since we've done this, Jeremy. And that's because it's a while since we've done this.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Trying to get back in the swing of things here. I must have been looking down the entry list over the last several days, and I thought, oh, yeah, I just remember that. Actually, Shay, there were originally six entries, I think, for LMP3, and then we lost one, and then we gained one, which was rather good news. Great, as you say, to see Andretti Autosport moving up from the Prototype Challenge Series into the main deal this year. Jared Andretti, he's been hankering after this now for a little while. Oliver Askew is going to be driving alongside him, and we know how good Oliver Askew is already, so that's going to be a very powerful combination there, I think. And of course, that's the car that Jared was talking about perhaps driving with his Uncle Marco at some stage. Uncle Marco? Cousin Marco. Later in this, at some stage this season, Marco certainly is expressing an interest in doing so. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that progresses. But yeah, look, a really strong entry list here. Sad in some ways we don't have LMP2 or GTLM, but I look upon that as a positive, quite frankly, because the extra cars are only going to make more traffic. More traffic and therefore propensity for incidents out on this track,
where
it's very difficult to pass, John, with cars of different performance capabilities through different parts of the racetrack. So I think 26 cars here is a really good number for or 25 cars is a really good number for a race of this calibre.
If you're listening around the circuit at Mid-Ohio, at IMSA Radio, green flag quickly before we start to get noise. Hello to Johnny Knotts in the pit lane. to Steve Shart from Forge Line Forged Alloy Wheels from South Kettering Road, Kettering Boulevard, Dayton, Ohio. I always think it's funny that they're at Kettering Boulevard and I live 5 minutes from Kettering in the UK. Good friends to us here at IMSA Radio. We are under green situation and a bit of a schmozzle coming out of the pit lane, but I think everybody's got out. And I mean, Colin. Shay, go ahead. Sorry.
That was Colin Brown. He doesn't often make mistakes.
No, and he was a bit close there. And already a problem for one of the prototypes. That is the Andretti car, isn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah, it is. It is number 36. And who's shown at the wheel of that car? Even if it's Jared Andretti shown at the wheel, and it's ground to a halt on the uphill climb between turn one and two here, up towards the keyhole, and that doesn't seem to be moving at all. No signs of life there on that number 36 machine. Tell you what, they go back to Core Autosport. This is not a track that has suited that team well, so I guess they'll be hoping that a little glitch there for Colin Brown can get things off on the wrong foot so they can get better from there on in, because this is one of the
red flag.
It might be the only track that team has never actually won on as red flag comes out on this session. The best finish that Core has ever had here at Mid-Ohio was back in 2012, a second place finish, but that was not for either Colin Brown or John Bennett. It was actually Alex Popoff and Ryan Dielle who finished second in a second Core Autosport car back in 2012 in PC.
It's Jeremy Shaw and Shay Adam is with us as well. Also going slowly at the moment, the Till Bechtelsheimer gradient car. Now, is that just because he's been very... No, he's got damage to the left front share.
He's got damage. That car is very low to the ground, particularly on the left front. I was looking at the timing screen just a moment ago. I think he might actually have something broken in the left front suspension there. It looks like the wheel is wobbling around a little bit. Brand new car to the team. This was the championship-winning car last year. It was the 86 with the black and pink livery on it. So it's a very familiar car to this track, but it had a rough go at this race last year, actually getting some incidental contact from a McLaren down the front straight. That's definitely broken left front suspension. But to add insult to injury, the 36, which caused the issue for the red flag, they have a penalty for leaving the pit box early. Oops.
You see, Jarrett was so excited about making his debut in IMSA World Tech Sports Car Championship. He just could not wait a second longer to get going, John.
Everybody wants to get out of the track. We've been waiting a long time, haven't we? And, you know, whilst there's been a bit of testing going on, that's all very lovely. But when competition comes on, that's a bit different. There's definitely damage to the left front of that gradient, the Unit Nutrition 66 car. That's the Acura. Now, this is an Acura track and a Honda track. We have here. They have their race school here. They have normally a lot of VIPs. Now, was that just a loose? That wasn't just a loose wheel.
It was a puncture,
Jeremy, I think.
Yeah. It's definitely flat.
And there's damage to the dive plane on the left front. I think there's been contact there, Jeremy. I really do.
Possibly in the pit lane then.
In that schmozzle when everybody went out. Goodness me, we haven't raced since the middle of March, and then everybody's so excited to get going that they're running into each other going out on the first moment here.
No, I'm not going to give him that, John. He has the first pit box into the pit lane, being a brand new car to the series. Carbon is pit box 29 in effect. They're all the way back. There is an empty pit box before you get to gradient. He would have had to work really hard to hit somebody leaving the pit lane. So I don't think that's where it came from.
Well, there's definitely damage on the left front. Definitely damage on the left front of that car. There's bodywork damage on the dive plane to the left front. there was a punctured left front tyre, and behind the wheel there was bodywork flashing around as well. We'll try and get in touch with the team and find out exactly what is going on there, as the Andretti LMP3 is under tow. It's a flat tow, so
all the way around, though.
Yes, I mean, all the wheels are pointing in the right direction. I just think there's no fire in the belly of that car, Jeremy.
I completely agree, John. Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, it was only 100 yards from the pit lane entrance, but they're going to pull it 2.5 miles almost. Or 2.25 miles to get back to the pit lane. So good news for Andretti Autosport, they're going to bring this car back again. Bad news, of course, it didn't not under its own power. But you know, they had a good test here. Actually, no, they haven't tested this car here. I don't believe. But they are certainly excited about to get going. And yeah, it's a really a shame that I've got to presume it's some sort of an electrical glitch on that car that caused it to. Because he was the first one out of his pit box.
Yeah, I mean, it was all a bit unnecessary at the sharp end of the pit lane. Now, it is tight coming out of the pit lane because you've got to go through the RFID chip readers for the Michelin tyres. But, I mean, that shouldn't cause an issue. The Mustang sampling guys had got out there and parked up really super early and... You know, we're sitting there a good, I don't know, 5 minutes maybe before the green flag came out. Maybe a wee bit more there. You listen to IMSA Radio. We're live, exclusive live coverage of FP1. And we're ready to go as soon as we get this Andretti LMP3 car. This is the number 36 car back in the pit lane. So we'll just wait for that to happen. Hello, if you're with us at the circuit. And green flag should be away in a minute. But we've lost 8 minutes of running, though, Jeremy. That's the problem, isn't it?
Well, it is a problem, yeah. Because you know, there's an hour this morning and this evening, I should say. And then we've got another hour and a bit tomorrow morning. Well, hour for each of the teams, I think, isn't it, tomorrow morning? And then straight into qualifying. So not a lot of track time. The good news is that most of the teams have been here and have tested prior to this weekend. So they're comfortable with the racetrack. But, you know, it's a funky racetrack here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course because it really is susceptible to temperature and wind and everything else. And you're never quite sure what you're going to get in terms of balance of the race car until you actually get it out on a racetrack on any particular day, John.
Still, you know, this reminds me of the old joke, isn't it? There's a hole at the side of the main highway. The police, fire and local government are there and they're looking into it. This is Gradient we're talking about. They're having a look at the left front. There's definitely damage to the carbon fibre strakes, the dive planes on the left-hand side. We saw the wheel and Michelin tyre come off that car, and air there was none in the tyre by the time it got back to the pit lane. Till Beckensheimer actually doing a pretty good job to get it back without doing any other damage. I've no doubt at all, because it's not in the right place, that the damage to the strake, the dive plane on the left front, was not done by flailing rubber or anything like that, because number one, there wasn't any, and number two, it's not in the right place. They've already got the ratchet in there to get the nuts off and put the new dive plane on, which has had enough contact to be slightly delaminated. And now we're back to green flag, which is great news. And I hear V8 and... Actually, mostly V8 and flat 6 engines. There's a Porsche in there as well, which is lovely to hear, Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah, and big news from Porsche, of course, within the last 10 days or so, with the latest manufacturer to commit to moving up into the LMDH category for 2023 with Penske Racing Group, a renewed association with Penske and Porsche. We've got going to know the full details of that in terms of chassis aren't yet, but...
Well, there aren't any chassis, are there? Because the new DPI 2.0, which forms that's the IMSA regulations that have been co-opted into the LMH top category of global racing, they're all based on LMP2 chassis, and the new LMP2 chassis isn't out yet, so we're still racing. Multimatic, by far the favourite, by the way, for all the VAG brands, the Volkswagen AG brands, so that's Audi, Porsche, possibly Bentley, Lamborghini as well, to join that. For the moment, the Multimatic chassis, and we haven't seen Multimatic LMP2s, of course, interestingly, and we haven't also seen Dallara LMP2s, which are the Cadillacs, of course, interestingly. Say again, Jeremy, sorry?
There was a Dallara at Daytona.
Yes, there was. Yes, you're absolutely right. I apologise. You are absolutely right. Fine-looking machine. The new cars we are yet to see for the new homologation for the next, 10 years, isn't it, of LMP2 for the four manufacturers. They've stayed the same, and we're waiting to find out where all of these DPIH, let's call them DPIH, it's IMSA regulations, where they're going and whose chassis they're going to jump into. But those decisions, Jeremy, have really got to be made now, because 2023 and Daytona 2023, actually in racing terms, is not that far away.
Yeah, true, but of course you don't know who's going to provide what's on the car. It's quite right to say. So it's tough to make a decision before you know exactly what you got going to get yourself into. But having said that, you're right. There's so much resources these days at Multimatic, and I think it's going to be there's going to be quite a queue at their door, I think. And what's interesting about Multimatic is, they've got all these different programs with all these different manufacturers, and everything's completely separate, and they just do a fantastic job of compartmentalising everything, so there's no crossover between the different manufacturers.
Roger Penske driving his own RS Spider earlier this week. Nice bit of extra social media for the announcement that Jeremy was talking about, with the realignment of the partnership between Penske and Porsche. It was Penske, of course, that ran those DHL cars in IMSA. Many different teams ran them and took them to Le Mans. In fact, there was a 1-2 at Le Mans. Van Merckxteen won the Le Mans class. Roger Penske, the captain, saying he absolutely thinks that the Le Mans victory is something that's missing from his and Penske's CV, if you will. And he's going to drive that car at Goodwood at the Festival of Speed as well. Various information that I'm getting from Porsche. Listen to that car very carefully. It's got a V8 engine in the back of it. And people are telling me that that might be the engine for the DPIH, the LMDH car. Obviously, with the addition of the spec hybrid that DPI 2.0 is going to get, so it might be even more relevant than we think, because that might, as I say, that might be the motive power unit. Bit of a slow start for that Andretti car. Still taking a while for John Andretti, Jeremy, to get up to speed.
Yeah, curious, isn't it, to what that problem might be with that car. Just gotta hope they get it out on track fairly soon, because the clock is ticking here and this session is going away. But he's brought that car back onto the pit lane again now. But at least it did a full lap this time under its own steam.
Sorry, Jared Andretti, not John Andretti. My apologies.
John sadly missed Jarrett's dad, who of course had a great career of his own. He set life tragically cut short, but what a great guy John was, and he was always one of my favourite people around the paddock. He'd his wife Nancy, and is upholding the family honour in a racing car. John himself had a lot of success back in the old Group C days with Porsches, of course.
So 44 minutes still to go, slight delay to the start of the session because of the breakdown of that number 36 LMP3, but we're getting underway. Let's have a look at some of the times. Tristan Fortier quickest with a 1:13.8 for Mustang Sampling. They were first in the queue, so he was first out. Frank van der Zander in second position. Check that now, because Meyershank Racing and the Acura on home ground goes to the top, so it's 65 and 0-1. But 0-1, a 1-0 and a 1 this weekend. So that is something to keep an eye on. Shit, Adam, with this VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report.
It is worth mentioning that Dylan Murray, being fastest, well, at least he was fastest in the LMP3 category in that number 91 machine for Riley Technology. These are not his first laps of the day around this track in an LMP3 car, because Dylan and Jim Cox, who share that 91 machine, and also Rasmus Lind and Dan Goldberg, who drive for Performance Tech in the 38, they're doing double duty, both taking place in the LMP3 race in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and in the IMSA Prototype Challenge. So lots of track time for those four drivers, whereas some other drivers in the field might be feeling a bit aggrieved from that 10-minute red flag. These guys are feeling pretty comfy.
Thank you, Shea, for that. Number 91 on the circuit at the moment in the colours of Wins. And that is another of the prototypes. And we've got, 25 cars that have been out on the circuit at the moment. That's Dylan Murray for Riley Motorsports. Felipe Fraga is in the other Riley Motorsports Ligier GSP320 at the moment. I've got to say, those prototypes, those LMP3s, Jeremy, do look well in the Wins colours, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's a great category, isn't it? I think LMP3. I think it's a great addition to the series here, to have those cars as part of the championship. And, you know, I mean, as a cost-effective way of getting into the top level of sports car racing, it really is fantastic. I'm surprised there aren't more of them, actually. As Shay say, with the late withdrawal of Mueller Motorsport, 47 Motorsport, with Austin McCusker, I guess he's one of the drivers who is racing this weekend in the ELMS race at Red Bull Ring, isn't he? So that team not here this weekend. So no Ducanes, as Shay pointed out, all Ligiers. And what a turnaround that's been over the last 12 months, because over the last several years, with the first generation of LMP3 cars, the Ligiers were no match for the Norma. But the second generation Ligier is very much a match for the Norma / Ducane, as it is now known, that is the other main opposition in LMP3. It's four chassis that are eligible, but really there's only two of them that are making up all the numbers. But the IPC race, as we just talked about, will be taking place this weekend, with those two teams running other cars in that series as well. They are in the IPC. There's a pretty good match, mix and match, between Ducanes and Ligiers this weekend. And just looking at the times from the first practice session for those cars, the top 10, I think, there's the top 10 in your rank, there's 5 Ducanes and 5 Ligiers, so it's pretty even.
Issue there for Lawrence Vanthuur last time around in the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche. That's the plaid front end on the number 9 Porsche, and that Motul sponsored car just going off on the right hander on the back onto the final straight, I suppose you would call it, into Thunder Valley. just got a little bit wide, dropped the left-hand Michelin's onto the dirt a wee bit. And he's, well, it's not slowed him down at all. Next lap around, he's right on the curb again. And puts in a decent time. Let's check out some of those lap times at the moment for the category. It's FP1, free practice one, so none of this, unless things go very wrong, with 40 minutes to go. With the setup for the grid in GT Daytona, it's Jack Hawksworth for what has been an all-conquering Lexus at this circuit over the last few years. The now Vassar Sullivan, number 14, leads by all of 0.030 of a second from Bill Oberlin. No, make that 0.2 of a second from Bill Oberlin for Turner Motorsport, the BMW M696. Andy Lally is in the pits with the Acura of Magnus with Archangel. That's the 44 car in third. Ryan Hardwick for Wright Motorsports Porsche in fourth in the in the 16 numbered car. That's the light blue machine. And behind him, it's Lawrence Vanthoor in that plaid number 9 Faf car that we mentioned. In LMP3, Colin Brown for Core Autosports. I do think Core Autosport are absolutely in line for a privateer-run Porsche DPIH from 2023 onwards. Man at the head of the team, Jeremy, is, you know, I mean, they ran, let's not forget, Core Autosport ran the works Porsche GT Le Mans cars. And we know how much John, who owns that team, wears his Porsche badge on his... Well, I was going to say on his sleeve, but over his heart, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're just connecting all the dots there. It does make a lot of sense, doesn't it? And, you know, John, he had one season to drive the GTD car, but just really loves the prototypes. I mean, his heart is in the prototypes. He just loves his LMP3 cars, and I'm sure he would love an LMDH or DPI2 or whatever we want to call them, even better.
Just continuing the rundown. It is Dylan Murray for Riley from Sean Creech Motorsports. Joao Barbosa in their Liege year. So 54, 91, 33, your top three in LMP3. And at the top end of the field, Dan Cameron for Acura and Michael Shank's team. That's number 60 by 0.2 of a second from Felipe Nasa in the Whelan number 31 Cadillac. That's the red and white car. And then the dark grey Mustang sampling number 5, Tristan Fortier, is another 0.3 further back. Then it's a second back to Ricky Taylor, 0.75 of a second back to Ricky Taylor for the Cunningham Minolta Acura now. Remember that Shank and Cunningham Minolta Wayne Tiller Racing moving over to the Acura brand after the end of the contract with Team Penske at the end of last season. In fact, they picked up their chassis at Sebring in November last year. Fifth at the moment, Chip Ganassi Racing with the Cadillac at number 01 from Renger von der Zander, and he's barely a second away. So the top five in DPI separated by 1.5 seconds at the moment. So 35 minutes to go in free practice run. We're live and exclusive for around the world. No blocks, no breaks coverage of Mid-Ohio, IMSA, right across the weekend. And for those of you outside the US, we'll kick in the video stream at imsaradio.com for all of the races this weekend with no breaks. If you're in the US, the main race, as ever, with our colleagues at NBCSN. But you will be able to watch qualifying live and uninterrupted on imsaradio.com. Down in the pit lane, Shea Adam for this VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock report. And the all-conquering Lexus, well, at least one of them. No, in fact, both of them are in the pit lane at the moment.
Both of the all-conquering Lexuses, as Jeremy likes to say, are in the pit lane, having some work done. That is right front and left front two for the 14 Lexus. Jack Hawksworth, fastest driver so far in GTD, and twice a race winner here at Mid-Ohio, 2019 and 2020. But Lexus has won every GTD race that has occurred at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. And by the way, this weekend is the 80th GTD race since the merger, when the class was brought into fruition. So Lexus has a bit of a good run here at Mid-Ohio. We do have one GTD car that hasn't yet left the pit lane. Actually, I lied. It just did leave the pit lane, and that is the 28 Allegra Mercedes. Daniel Morad is taking this car for its first laps around the track. Why? Because it's a new chassis after the crash at Sebring. They had a big one. They needed a new car. They worked with Mercedes to get the car and the parts, and now Morad is taking it out for a shakedown.
Back in for the 66 Gradient NSX. That was till Bechtelsheimer early on, and that needed a bit of remedial action. Put that car back into the pit lane, and it has turned some laps now, at the very least. And in fact, that was Mark Miller who was back out in that car. The recently married Mark Miller, congratulations to him and to Tabitha. Sure, I should be congratulating. No, she's known him long enough. It was a decision that she made that was considered. It's fine, but I still think Mark's got the best of that relationship, as so many of us have. In all seriousness, congratulations to the pair of them. Mark just back into the pit lane for Gradient, sixth position for that Acura NSX GT3 at the moment, with a time that is just about a tenth away from Brian Sellers in seventh. Gee Highstand in sixth for Carbon with Peregrine, Andy Lally, Magnus with Archangels, Acura next up another 0.2 or so. It's pretty tight as ever, Jeremy, in GT Daytona, exactly the way we would have expected it.
Indeed, and just a couple of notes here. We're seeing a replay of what? Not quite sure what that was about. Anyhow, a couple of notes. Shay talking about the fact that this be the 80th race. What's interesting, particularly about that, with no GTLM here, that brings to an end the streak of consecutive races for Antonio Garcia and John Edwards. They've competed in every race since the series' inception back in 2014, 78 races in GTLM. Having said that, the most starts in the IMSA WearTech Sports Car Championship since this new era, which began, of course, in 2014, has been made by Andy Lally, who is now the only driver to have competed in every race. He's actually done 79 races in GTD. Every single race, he's the only one to achieve that. Just talking about DPI, you talked about the top five cars being within a second or so, 1.1 seconds at the moment, covering top five at the moment. That does not include the Mazda, which has not shown up on the timing screen. However, it has been out on the racetrack. It's just the IMSA beacon isn't working. The team is getting its own telemetry, so the team knows how it's going. There's not a lot of grip out there, I am told. But that car has turned 1 minute 13.1 so far in this session, which should put it in the top four. So the Mazda not yet showing on the timing screens, but has been out on the racetrack.
Shay Adam has some... Well, Shay likes arithmetic progressions and patterns. Let's look at the DPI class, and we hope that Alcamel can sort out the issues with the timing for that Mazda. Go ahead, Shay.
Well, the Mazda actually did just jump up to 10th overall, 6th in class. So they are now registering a time, even though it's not a very good time for the Mazda. So we'll give it some laps to filter that out. But at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, our podium was Acura, Cadillac, Mazda. At the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring, it was Cadillac, Mazda, Acura, which means that here it should be Mazda, Cadillac, or Mazda, Acura, Cadillac, right?
That's not a stat, you know that, don't you? That's just the way you like to interpret things. It's a happy coincidence. Of course it is. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us, good to have your company. Big, big sideways slide there at the final corner of the carousel before coming onto their short front straight, which is the finish straight, but of course not the... It's coming out the keyhole. So coming down the start face straight, but not the finish straight. I've said this many times over the years, and nobody has come back to me and told me any differently. But I'm fairly certain that Mid-Ohio is unique in the fact that you start at one spot and finish at another because of the nature of the circuit. So you start on the run down from the keyhole into the Madness Complex with the beach on your right hand, on your left hand side as you go down there, and of course you finish. Well, and we've, yes, and how many times have we seen that, Jeremy? That's a fair point. Well made. Is there any other track that you can think of? And I'm not talking about practice and qualifying, because I know IndyCar often move the finishing line for qualifying so that people can come into the pits, which I actually think is a fantastic idea. But is there any other track where you can think of, not where it's just in a different part of the start-finish strip, which is what Formula One obviously do, and lots of other people do, but it's a completely different part of the track here at Mid-O, and I can't think of any other circuit in the world that do that.
Yeah, I mean, you raised a good point there about Formula One. I was just going to say that, yeah, Formula One does that on quite a few tracks. They have the start line in different places, the finish line, which I have never quite been able to figure out, to be perfectly honest, but I guess it's just because it's Formula One, because Circuit America is like that, and yes. I think it's just some series do use the front straight here to start their races, but the majority, as you say, do not, because the front straight is relatively short, and so it's for rolling starts, and it makes more sense to have them have to start on the backside there. But there are certainly there's quite a few series that do standing starts, like for example the F3 and F4, the SCCA series. They do standing starts on the front straight, I believe, here at Mid-Ohio, and quite a few other series actually have their rolling starts at start as well. A few of them. So it's a choice that the guests make.
The Brazilian Indy Street race at Sao Paulo had a different start and finish, and they had the pits at a different part of the track as well, from the start finish line as well, which is in itself is not unique. We've seen WEC do that. It's Sebring as well. Thank you to Declan for that. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch, and thank you to all of you who already have. Good to have your company on a Friday afternoon. Friday, what, just after 10 o'clock in the UK? Just after 10 o'clock in the UK. I'm not sure I went very high there. In the UK, just after 11 in Europe. Busy motorsport weekend for everybody. So thank you for being with us for this IMSA Free Practice 1. And a particular thanks to our colleagues at NASCAR Productions up in Charlotte, North Carolina, for making sure that we can see pictures from around the track so that we can describe them to you, and therefore paint the pictures. You know what we say, pictures always great on radio. We'll do the best we can and try and give you an idea of what is going on for all of the practice sessions for IMSA. We'll have all of the races as well, the other races for you this weekend in sound and vision. And for those of you in the US, you can join us here on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV for qualifying for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And Jeremy, a note about the Compass racing car this weekend and how it's looking.
Yeah, great looking car, isn't it? And great to see Compass back again with that Acura. Of course, they ran that car last season in the SRO series, now bringing it back to IMSA with Jeff Kingsley, of course, last year's IMSA GT3 Cup champion, driving that car this weekend alongside the Mario Farnbacher, as Shane was talking about earlier on. But yeah, the graphics on that car are really rather interesting. The livery plate, a tribute to the visually impaired artist Jeff Hansen, who's been working with his team, had been working with his team for a long, long time. He passed away last December at the age, horribly young age of 27, from neurofibromatosis, which is a genetic condition that had already taken his sight away at the age of 12. But he was an accomplished artist, and he just pretty much designed the livery on this car. So it's a tribute to Jeff Hansen. And for anybody, there's a charity that Jeff started that he wanted. His goal was to raise $10 million. Excuse me, by his 30th birthday, which will be a couple of years from now. So anybody who's interested in that can go to the Race Day Foundation website. It's racedayfoundation.org/Jeff, J-E-F-F, Hanson, H-A-N-S-O-N.
Yeah, great stuff. I love how hard everybody in motor racing paddocks around the world, particularly here in IMSA, how their social responsibility programs, how they try and highlight what they feel are worthy charities or what are close to their hearts. Listen, I know it's been a tough, getting on for 18 months now, so I understand that people might be getting a little bit fatigued when people are asking them to look at certain programs, but the racing teams within IMSA, within WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, Michelin Pilot Challenge, Mazda MX-5, all the championships, the Porsche Carrera Cup, North America, not here this weekend, but all of them have taken various causes to their heart. And do have a look at them if you've got a chance. And even if you can't help them out financially, at least learn about the charities and the issues that these guys are trying to highlight, because it's as much about education and knowledge as it is about anything else. So please, I urge you to do that, because there's some absolutely outstanding programs being highlighted in the IMSA paddock across all of the championships at the moment. We are live, as we are keeping an eye on the last 22 minutes of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Acura Sports Car Challenge, presented by TLX Type S at Mid-Ohio. See, I've done it a second time. Slow lap at the moment for the number one Lamborghini, just coming through to turn six.
Outlap.
At the moment. That's just an outlap, Shea, is it? Right, thank you. Kept out of the way. Nicely done by Madison Snow. Fifth position for Paul Miller Racing, and the former champion team with that Lamborghini Huracan. If you're looking at that car at the moment, going into Thunder Valley, red, white and black, so a different colour scheme from what we saw in its championship winning year, but we're starting to get used to that now. I rather think that colour scheme works with the angular nature of the Lamborghini. Oh, straight back in again, so something not right with that Total sponsored car. As it heads back into the pit lane, Total Quartz, their synthetic lubricant, back into the pit lane for Madison. So did he have an issue? Didn't really, Jeremy, get up to speed at all as he was coming down the start line. And it looks to me as something's dragging on the right rear as he was out. So was it perhaps a tyre not inflated properly, or something underneath the car on the left rear? That's where they're looking in the pit lane, Jeremy.
Yeah, look, there might have been some fluids there. There is an overflow tube there hanging down the back of the car, kind of into the diffuser area. So they're going to have a good look over that car and see what they can come up with, certainly. New fastest time, meanwhile, at the top of the pack. Ricky Taylor now has turned a 1 minute 12.221. In the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura. Still going to get used to calling it an Acura. So forgive me if I get that wrong at the Latin some stage, but it didn't happen then. So that bumps Felipe Nasr into second place and number 31 Whelan Engineering Cadillac. That car is in the pits at the moment. The other Acura, Oli Pla, in third place. Of course, this has been, Shane was talking about the fact that the Lexus have had a perfect record here since Imsa's return to Mid-Ohio in 2018 with three straight victories. Same, of course, for the Acuras as well. Two wins for Ricky Taylor and Elio Castroneves, sharing for the one of the Penske cars, of course, going on to win the championship last season. And the intermediary year 2019, won by Dane Cameron, who's now driving, of course, with the Maya Shack team in that third place car, and Juan Pablo Montoya.
Shea Adam, not the normal Paul Miller Racing team, and some sad news for the team at the moment. They'll be racing with heavy hearts this weekend.
Yeah, they're without their lead mechanic this weekend, Garrett Crutchfield. He had to stay home in Atlanta due to a death in the family, so he's got to go to a funeral and will not be on hand this weekend, which means that their pit stops slightly different, as Garrett is one of the guys who is over the wall and making the difference for that championship winning team. But I have texted Brian Sellers, so Brian, if you can hear me, please text me back and tell me what's wrong with the car.
We offer our look, it's all part of the racing family, isn't it, what we were talking about earlier on, Garrett, and your family. We offer condolences, and you're in our thoughts this weekend, and you'll be in the thoughts of everybody up and down the pit lane at Mid-Ohio as well. 18 and a half minutes to go, and the Heart of Racing back out and running with their Aston Martin. Been a pretty decent season, and those guys are finding a bit of form and a bit of pace, Jeremy, with that Aston Martin Vantage. Ian James, well, he knows which way is up. And Ross Gunn, former Aston Martin works driver, drafted into that team as well. That's not going to slow that car down.
No, it certainly isn't. And Ian, stepping aside, as you say, to Ross Gunn, will be in this car now for the remainder of the season, taking over from Ian, who remains there as a team manager. But you're right, you know, this team finished off last season strong and has started off this season just as well. Also, they had third last time out of Sebring. They've had six top five finishes in the last seven races. And as competitive as GT Daytona is, that's a very, very impressive record. Not yet got their first win under their belt, but yeah, who knows, perhaps it'll come soon. They've got two really, really talented young drivers here with Roman De Andrés and the youngster from England, Ross Gunn.
90.3 FM around the circuit, around the world, at IMSA Radio on RS2 at, and we've made this very easy for you now, at imsaradio.com. That's where all of our IMSA Radio content, the archive, the video archive, it's all in the same place. It's Shea Adam as our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Reporter. Jeremy Shaw joins me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. And we're getting down to the last 15 minutes or so, just a couple of minutes to go before we head into that at IMSA Radio. Hello, Sarah Rigby, tuned in, of course, and will have been absolutely delighted to hear us talking about Aston Martin. She is the Aston Martin super fan. Hello to Gareth Evans and Alan Space, and to Simi Rich as well, at the side of the circuit this morning. Simi and Aaron this afternoon, should I say, at Mid-Ohio with the headsets on, tuned in. Looks like you're on the bank down by, I'm going to say turn 5, turn 6 there, guys. Thank you for supporting IMSA. Good to have your company. And thank you for coming out to support the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship in the hall of the Acura Sports Car Challenge this weekend. No works Porsches this week, this year, of course, but that's not to say, Jeremy, that we don't have Porsches, but just one from Team Hardpoint EBM, and it's kind of mix and match for the 88 crew this weekend as far as the drivers are concerned.
Yeah, true enough. And Earl Bamber stepping aside, they were, the team was hoping to have the funding to do the all lady car for Christina Nielsen and Catherine Legge. Unfortunately, that hasn't materialized fully yet, but Catherine has been retained for the team for this weekend. She was driving with Rob Ferriol, the team principal there at Team Hardpoint, and certainly the intention and hope is to get the second car back out on track again very, very soon. But you know, the Porsches, they were blindingly fast for the first couple of races, almost had a podium sweep last time out at Sebring. Catherine was actually up into third place in the hardpoint car behind the Wright Motorsports and Pfaff car that finished second and first in that race. But unfortunately for her, she got a penalty in the late stages, having punted off her old buddy Andy Lally, inadvertently, I'm sure. So that drops down to fourth. Those great results for Catherine, and you know, she really took to that Porsche very, very impressively the first two races of the season. Having never driven a Porsche before, I don't believe. So you know, she's really earned her place in this team. But we'd certainly like to see Earl Bamber back in one of the cars as well before too long.
Earl is the EB. Earl Bamber is the EB of Earl Bamber of EBM, Earl Bamber Motorsports. And this is not a new venture for Earl and his brother Will. Will, a fairly decent driver himself, actually. I've seen him race at Dubai in the 24 hours there and a number of other races. Will normally doing the logistics for EBM, and that team been very successful in Porsche Carrera Cup racing around the world, particularly in Asia and Australasia, and of course have won the Bathurst 12 hours as well for Porsche. So clearly they know which way's up, and Hardpoint needs no introduction to the IMSA fans because they've been around for quite some time. Rob Ferriol being the fulcrum of that, if you will. Aaron Tielitz going rather well at the moment in GT Daytona, at a circuit where Lexus have gone very well in the past. Jeremy Shaw, the number 14 car, tops the GTD category and tops it at a very decent pace indeed.
Yeah, very true. As Shea was saying earlier on, I mean, it's just been a fantastic track for Lexus. It really does suit this RCF GT3 car. The Lexus scored its first win here at Mid-Ohio back in 2018. That was with Dominic Bauman and Kyle Marcelli took the victory, first victory for Lexus. Since then, Jack Hawks has been winning Wheel of the Winning car the last 2 years, but Aaron Tielitz, now, is he who had the fastest pole lap here last year, 1 minute 20.9. Well, already in this first practice session, he's gone quicker than that, at 1:20.513. That is the quickest time so far in GTD. It is not, however, the lap record, because that was set by Jack Hawksworth himself back in 2018. At a 1 minute 19.3. So I have to see whether that record can come under threat here this weekend. The fastest race lap record was set also by Hawksworth back in 2018 at a 1 minute 20.5. So that is the time, virtually identical time, that Aaron Tielitz has set this afternoon in this practice session, actually a fraction quicker than that.
It's Jeremy Shaw. And off the circuit, the wins number 9-1 prototype. That's the Riley Motorsports Ligier, and that is at the keyhole, coming out of the grass and the daisies. That's Jim Cox at the wheel of that car. Well, other than a bit of grass cutting there, Jeremy, I think that was no harm, no foul. Now, he was on his own on the circuit, and just locked up the back wheels as he changed down and braked into the corner. His teammate car not too far away either, but as I say, I think no harm, no foul. Slightly chastened and a few more daisies in the grill, but other than that, the 91 car lives to fight on. So 10 minutes to go. Shea Adam has a VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock update from Paul Miller Racing. Remember, we saw their Lamborghini, the number one car, travelling slowly earlier on with Madison Snow. Shea, what do you know?
Thanks to Mitchell Simmons, an air jack issue. So that was the cause of the sparking that we saw, but hopefully it shouldn't be too long before they do get that number one back out of the pit lane and onto the track. 10 minutes remaining in the session, and as of now, Madison Snow has only done that one very slow lap.
You don't want that. You absolutely don't want that. The air jacks, if you're not aware, you don't put, if you watch Formula One, you don't put jacks under the front and rear of these cars. They have an onboard system, either three or four metal tubes which fire out from underneath the car under pressurised air. It's the airline that goes into the side and it pulls the car up off the ground enough that the very little suspension droop that these cars have, because the suspension is very tight and unforgiving, but so you can get the wheels off basically and get the new wheels and tyres on. What you don't need is when one of those does not then retract when you pull the airline out. It's supposed to vent the air from the system. They spring back up. Well, clearly the one to the right rear and possibly the left rear as well, given what we were seeing them look at, was not retracted into the floor and was scraping on the ground. Ollie Jarvis for Mazda Motorsports, sixth position at the moment in the 55. Not enjoying his run, Jeremy, this morning from what we're hearing from the pit and paddock. This afternoon, excuse me.
Yeah, that's right. I'm hearing that a lack of front grip is holding that car back at the moment. And you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because track conditions are obviously pretty darn good right now. What's the time? It's 5:30. So it's relatively late in the day here. The sun is no longer to be seen. So the track is in really, really good shape right now. It's a lot cooler than sometimes it is here at Mid-Ohio. And you know, we've already talked about the fact that Aaron Tielitz has gone quicker than he managed in qualifying last year in the very first session for these cars this weekend. And also at the front of the field, Philip Albuquerque is fastest, the number 10 car is fastest at a 1 minute 12.221. That is also quicker than Juan Pablo Montoya's race lap record. Wow. Here, that was set last year and won 12.292. Having said that, the pole lap record was set by Oliver Jarvis in 2019, a 1 minute 10.7, so a full second and a half away from that. And the Mazda's best time so far this afternoon has been a 13.3, but I think he did a 13.1 in the very early stages of this session before the transponder kicked in.
And Shea, I'm sure in our Porsche Keys to the Race in the Michelin Countdown to Green on Sunday, and we are racing on Sunday this week, we'll have traffic as one of our Porsche Keys to the Race. And we've got a few very experienced drivers who've not been here before. This is tight. There are places to pass, but this is a tight, difficult circuit where you don't get a lot of rest.
Well, and if we're going to be completely fair in this, which, you know, we should be, there are 15 drivers that have never competed in an IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race at Mid-Ohio, but there are four drivers who have never competed, five, in a race at Mid-Ohio. Those drivers include Kevin Magnussen, Loic Duval, Olivier Pla, which I had to look up a few times because I still can't believe it, Felipe Fraga, and Ross Gunn are true rookies to this track. Really? They don't know how bad the traffic gets. Now, Ross is in a GTV, so he's going to have it to have his eyes on a swivel like a little owl. But Kevin Magnussen, Loic Duval, and Olivier Pla, they're going to have to get used to passing a lot of cars a lot more frequently than they're used to.
Yeah, and even with 25 cars out on the track, the speed differentials here are quite big. The downforce prototypes, GT Le Mans cars here. So the GT3s are very quick. The GT Daytona is very quick in a straight line, but then again, they lose out a wee bit in the faster corners. And there are plenty of fast corners as well as plenty of slow corners here, Jeremy. This is a circuit of real nuance. And you know, you look at it on a piece of paper and you think, well, that's not going to take that long to learn the track. But you don't drive on a piece of paper here, do you?
No, I mean, you know, the elevation changes here are tricky. You know, it's a very physical track, particularly when it's hot outside, which, of course, it isn't right now. But it's certainly a very demanding track for the teams that you and for the engineers to get their heads around as well. And There's concrete patches in some of the corners. I believe there's been a new concrete patch laid up at, I think it's up at turn two, up at the keyhole, which is new for this year. Certainly, I think that's the section that's new for this year. It's been changed since last year, beginning a bit rougher up there at the top of the hill. But it is a very nuanced racetrack, and it's a tricky place to nail down.
So into the last 5 minutes, 90.3 FM around mid-Ohio, around the world on IMSA Radio. That's RS2 on imsaradio.com. And, of course, we'll have the race on Sunday on Sirius XM as well. I'll get the channels for you for that. I know AMR safety crew like to be tuned in on Sirius XM. Sort that out for you before the weekend. As we come down into the last few minutes, let's give you a rundown of the times. In GT Daytona, still the Vassar Sullivan Lexus number 14, Aaron Tielitz, with a 120.513, about three tenths ahead of the Turner Motorsport BMW. Haven't talked about Robbie Fawley and the Turner guys. They're in the pits at the moment, the 96 car. Then a couple of Porsche, Pat Long in the Wright Motorsport 16, that's the blue car, and he's another tenth or so back, just 0.013 of a second ahead of Zachary Robichon. That Pfaff Motorsport car improving since we last talked about it to fourth position. Then the number one Madison Snow driven Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini, which has had its air jack problems. Frankie Monte Calvo's just going back out for Vassar Sullivan in the Lexus RCF GT3 number 12 in sixth position. In LMP3, John Bennett, Core Autosport, Colin Brown's time of a 17.2 puts them on the top from Gar Robinson, just 2.5 tenths further back in second for Riley in the 74 car. Then the 91, that's the other wins car in, or the wins car in third place, that 91 car in the pits at the moment. Lance Wilsey, Sean Creech Motorsport for 33. Another tenth further back. Man, that's close at the top of LMP3. Rasmus Lind for Performance Tech, another 2 tenths further back. And then Ollie Askew, a little further back than they would have hoped, I think, in Andretti Autosports number 36. But I'm going to suggest that they haven't had a clean run. We've had a couple of problems while we've seen that car moving slowly. And in the top class, DPI, Philippe Albuquerque is aboard the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura. That's the black Acura DPI number 10, 112.221. It was Ricky Taylor that set that time in that car. And he's got about a tenth and a half over Pipo Durrani for Whelan. It's the 31 Cadillac, the red and white car in second from MSR in their Acura. That's the 60. Oli Planau aboard that in third. And he's just 0.028 of a second from Kevin Magnussen, former F1 star, has pulled the Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing number 01 up to fourth from Loic Duval for Mustang Sampling and the Mazda, with now Harry Tinknell at the wheel, is in sixth position. By the way, it was Jack Hawksworth who set the time in the leading Lexus earlier on. Shear points. Positions, yes, are even more complicated than usual this weekend.
Are you ready for this one? Get a notepad and some scratch paper. DPI and GTD both have points from Daytona and Sebring. We'll put it that way first and foremost to keep it simple. LMP3 have points from Sebring. But then we factor in the Sprint Championship, which begins on Sunday. Yeah. And that is for GTD only. So we're going to have two championships running for GTD, LMP3 with their championship, which has only been running for one race so far, and then DPI, which is running for everything, but they're not at every race. So it just continues to get even more like the Matrix.
But it's all right, because Jeremy's got a pencil and a piece of paper, and he can do arithmetic. It's not even mathematics, it's arithmetic. When we get into the race on Sunday, we'll run you down how that is working by the end of the weekend. Under 30 seconds to go now, and all of the DPIs are out on track at the moment. This is, by the way, a full championship race for GTD as well. So there's two sets of points being given out this weekend. We have an endurance championship, the North American Endurance Cup in IMSA, and we added the sprint championship a couple of seasons ago. Carl Robertson just having a spin in the Riley number 74 coming up the turn over the top of turn six. And he comes straight into the pit lane. The checkered flag is now out. So we've got a long distance championship, a short distance championship, and the full championship for some of the categories. Nice work, by the way, by the Heart of Racing, Ross Gunn, in the Heart of Racing team Aston, who was right behind Gar when he spun and had to pick a side. Do I go left? Do I go right? Is he going to left the brake off? I'm going to the right. I'm going to the right. And it was the correct decision from Ross on that one. Check the flag is out. 25 cars, I reckon, seen, Shea. And yes, 25 cars seen. Is that right? Do you agree with that?
Yes, we had every car turn laps. Every car did well, and I would like to say that in GTD, the entire field is separated by 1.3 seconds.
And right at the end there, Jeremy, a new best lap, first of the drivers into the 11s, and substantially into the 11s, a 1:11.8. So now nearly 0.4 of a second, Pipo Durrani found a bit of space and has found a cracking lap for Whelan Engineering in the 31 Cadillac.
Yeah, that is a very impressive lap. As I said a little while ago, the race lap record here, 1:12.2 for Juan Pablo Montoya, so full half a second quicker than that, almost half a second quicker than that. Still a way away from Oliver Jarvis's qualifying record, 1:10.7. And by the way, the Mazda has just got out back on track again after the kitchen sink was thrown at it. They weren't happy, as we talked about a little while ago, with the balance of that car, particularly the front end just lacking in grip as we're on board there with the 01 Cadillac as the Mazda goes past, amongst other cars. But it's working a lot better now. Harry Ticknell has taken the wheel of that car. He's got the times down now to the high 12s, 1:12.9, and a fair bit of traffic now, so perhaps didn't improve it right at the end. But the car is working a lot better. And by the way, that new grip, that new concrete up at the keyhole, apparently it's providing pretty good grip. So a couple of the drivers have told me already.
And before we leave you, hearty congratulations to Felipe Albuquerque this weekend in the Konica Minolta Acura in second position. To Felipe Nasr, congratulations to him, who's been confirmed as a driver at Le Mans this year for Ferrari, Shea Adam.
Yes, he has, alongside, ironically enough, Oliver Jarvis, who's also participating in this race, and Ryan Cullen, and the team running the car, Risi Competizione. That's a pretty stout thing to be able to get a pair of Risi overalls with your name on it. A lot of people out there will be extremely envious of Felipe, but congratulations to him for that ride. And you're right to say Felipe Albuquerque as well, though, John. He too has a ride at Le Mans with United Autosport to defend his LMP2 win from last year.
Indeed so, and I believe that Risi Ferrari are going to do Monza as well, which is the WEC round before Le Mans, and if they are going to do that, it's a perfect place to hone their fast car, because, you know, obviously you run everything trimmed out there. End of the first free practice session. Thank you for being with us. Right at the end, Jeremy, an improvement for Oliver Askew.
Yeah, jumped himself up into second position in that Andretti Autosport, the Window World car, is sharing with Jared Andretti, making that team's debut and the IMSA World Tech Sports Car Championship debut for Jared Andretti this weekend. They've been languishing down at the bottom of the charts for most of that session, having had problems early on, but Askew jumps up into second there with a 1:17.340, so just a tenth of a second away from the best time set by Colin Brown in the Core Autosport number 54, a fair bit earlier, quite early in the session.
So, Pete Modirani, Whelan Engineering, takes the top time here with a very impressive 1:11.8. That's almost 0.4 of a second ahead of the fielding DPI. The Core Autosport Ligier, number 54, with Colin Brown setting the time of a 1:17.2. Exactly a tenth away from the field there with that Ollie Askew time at the end in LMP3. And it was Jack Hawksmith who set the time for Vassar Sullivan in GT Daytona for Lexus in the RCF GT3. The number 14 car, 13th overall, with a 1:20.5. And that, again, is nearly 0.3 of a second ahead of Turner Motorsport and the rest of the field. Shay Adam was our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. And Jeremy Shaw joined me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global broadcast booth. Thanks to Rob in London for engineering everything to get us to the world, to everybody trackside, including Tyler, and our fabulous IMSA tech team for making sure you could hear us on the PA. And of course, we couldn't have seen all around the circuit without our colleagues at NASCAR Productions at Charlotte. Thank you all. And we'll be back tomorrow to bring you all of the sessions from the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, plus the races as well, live in sound and vision across the weekend for this Acura Sports Car Challenge weekend. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Friday evening wherever you are. I'm John Hindhoff. Good night. God bless.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.